the map that you have in front of you, it will help you to kind of get a bearing on where we're at, because chapter 49 deals with like five different nations, Jeremiah 49, that are quick in and out kind of denouncements and pronouncements of judgment. We looked last time at chapter 48, and chapter 48 dealt with Moab. Moab, though, actually in the chronology of how things unfolded, was second to fall to Ammon. And Ammon was going to fall in chapter 49. We will see that the nation of Ammon was going to fall. And that's what's being mentioned in chapter 49, verses 1 to 6. Actually, if you look at your map, I want to kind of get you to your bearings. So first of all, look at the picture of Palestine. Okay, the one that's not the big broad view, but the triangular view. And what you'll see is Israel, and then on the far right there, you'll see Ammon. Okay, Ammon is the nation that's in our view tonight. And below that, along the Salt Sea, do you see down there by the Salt Sea, Moab? Moab is the southernmost nation. That was the one spoken of last time we were together. There are cities and there are places that will be dealt with throughout the evening in this passage. But if you'll also let your eye go up, try to find Damascus right above the Sea of Galilee. Actually, you're going to have to turn it over for this because I think it's going to be more on the second sheet because, yes, it's large print in Damascus right around Syria. If you could, it's right in the center of the page, you'll see Syria. And then right above that, or actually right below that by the S, is Damascus. Okay? Now, Damascus is going to be dealt with. And on this same page, if you let your eye go to the middle, very center of the page, says Kedar. Do you see that? Kedar. Do you see it? Okay. Kedar's right in the center of the page of the big map. And then all the way to the right, about the middle of the page on the right, is Elam. Do you see Elam? All the way to the right. That's out by Babylon, because Babylon is right in front of it, you know, on that side. So these are the nations he's dealing with. A little geography is helpful in this chapter because it'll help make some sense of where we're heading and where Jeremiah is heading as he winds down his book. So these are nations to be judged, and they're culpable. They are to be blamed, if you will. And one of the things we've tried to enumerate for us is that, and kind of articulate on a routine basis, is that when people are close to God's people, they're responsible for how they treat God's people. And so it is with these nations. They were right next door to Israel. And their attitude toward Israel, the attitude they took up, said a lot about them as a people. Just like as Americans, if we take up a poor attitude toward Israel in our day, it says something about the faith of us as a nation. We are a people who have to honor that nation. It is an act of faith that we keep God's people as the center of our attention in our aid. And we make sure that we stand by them and with them and behind them in whatever way we possibly can. There are other nations that are worthy of our attention as well, but Israel is front and center in that regard. And there is no place that it is more borne up as a truth than in these passages in Isaiah as well as in Jeremiah when they speak to the nations that were surrounding that nation, which is the apple of his eye. Now, if you go to chapter 49, the Bible says, concerning the Ammonites, thus says the Lord, hath Israel no sons? Hath he no heir? Why then doth their king inherit Gad, and his people dwell in his cities? Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will cause the alarm of war to be heard in Rabbah of the Ammonites, and it shall be a desolate heap, and her daughters shall be burned with fire, and then shall in Israel be heir unto them that were his heirs, saith the Lord. Now, that's a hard thing for us to get our minds around on the surface, to read in there. What's he talking about heirs and what's all this about? Well, it makes perfect sense when you begin to realize what actually did occur when Jerusalem fell. And it was that then, at that time, they had been helpers of Babylon at one point to go in and wipe out Jerusalem. And then they came in and wanted to take over the cities. But when these cities on the east side of Jordan fell, Gad, for one, was a city that was in fact owned by Israel. When Israel fell, the Ammonites went up and grabbed hold of the land and took this city and decided that's where they were going to, you know, call their own. And what he's saying is, yes, I judged my people. Yes, I carried them away. But that did not give you a right to go get their stuff. It did not give you a right to take what I had clearly given on the canvas of history to my people. He had Judah, and all of Judah still was there, that could have gone over and accessed that. But because they went in and grabbed hold without any kind of concern for the God that had brought them into the land in the first place, they were culpable. They were to be blamed. And he says, you're going to be judged for that. He says, Gad, how you treated Gad tells me what you think of me. And that's what it is about many things. When people walk into church in our day, how they treat church, in one sense, is how they think of God. This is why it's important. I tell the teens, you know, take off your hat. You're a guy, take off your hat. You come to church. You know, try to teach them. There's certain things that are to be honored. In the world, I would tell somebody, I told a guy I worked with one time, he was, you know, kind of talking all kinds of trash about God and, well, God this and he didn't that and who is. I leaned over to him and quietly whispered, hey, he's listening. Just so you know, he's listening. And God is always listening. He always sees. And our disposition toward the things of God, he takes note of. And the Bible says that these people had gone in and they had grabbed Gad, the city of Gad. Now, if you'll take back out your map and look at the part where it says the United Monarchy, which is a close-up of a Palestine area, okay, the Fertile Crescent, what I want you to look at is look at the Salt Sea, and to the right of the Salt Sea, you will see a little river called the River of Arnon, okay? The River of Arnon. And the River of Arnon was actually the original split between Ammon and Moab. That was where the two nations kind of came up against each other, and that was where the lines were drawn. But as we noted last time when we were looking at Moab, Moab had a bad case of sour grapes for generations because the Ammonites had grabbed some land from them, and they never forgave them. But when God brought the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage and they came up on that side of the great, you know, the Dead Sea, he said, don't fight with these. These are your brethren. Don't fight with them. But the Ammonites came out and fought with them. So they had to defend themselves. And they wiped out Sihon. And they went in and they had land. Okay, this is where they began to take up camp before they crossed the Jordan to go in and do the conquest. So what happened was the Moabites really hated Israel because though they didn't take them on in fight, they did get the land that they always wanted to have back from the Ammonites. And so they had it, okay? So you see this history here. People are being very historical. Does that sound familiar today? If you look at your nation today, I heard today that there was a big case that there was a big multi-billion dollar settlement. The government's paying money to the Indians. And African Americans for certain things that happened many moons ago that they said they were mistreated. And so there's sour grapes. And there's sour grapes if you are a Native American, Indian person, something like that. You get certain privileges because people have a desire to somehow say we were exploitative or something like that. And there's this bitterness. But listen, just like when these people came into their own, God blessed them. I do not want you to ever forget this fast fact, okay? The number one first thing our Congress did as a legislative body when we were organized was order the printing of 20,000 Bibles for distribution among the Indian people. Bibles. We brought them Jesus. We brought them Christ. Yes, there were some foolish people, and yes, there were some bad things, but there were atrocities on both sides. We just have to keep our bearings. And the fact is God's the one who will have judgment and vengeance. Isn't that right? Isn't that what it says? Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. He will make the right. He will make right the wrongs that have been done, no matter where we're born, what other side of the tracks we're on, or any of those issues that haunt us in our day. Well, what we're seeing here is Ammon is going to have to be dealt with, and it's because once Israel was carried away under the Assyrians, Ammon went up and took Gad, and they took all this land, and they began to spread out and relax. You can see somebody stretching their arms out and sitting down in an easy chair. Basically, that's what they did metaphorically as a nation. And the Bible says, because of that, God says in verse 2, "Therefore, behold, the days come, I will cause the alarm of war to be heard in Rabbah," which is the chief city, which is on your map, in Ammon, of the Ammonites. "And it shall be a desolate heap, and her daughters shall be burned with fire." Meaning Rabbah is the capital, and all the daughters or all the other cities are going to be burned with fire. And he says, "Then shall Israel be heir unto them which were his heirs." In other words, she's going to get her land back. They had their land, they got carried away by the Assyrians, and the Gad was taken. He says, but once you guys get dealt with, I'm going to be able to bring my people back and get my land back in its proper possession. Verse 3, "Howl, O Heshbon." He says, "Howl, O Heshbon, for Ai is spoiled." Ai is a city of Ammon. Now, it's not on your map anywhere. It was a small city. The word means small. But it is a city, and Heshbon is a city of Moab. As I said, Ammon got taken out before Moab, even though chronologically in Jeremiah, it seems like the one got first. No, Ammon goes first, then Moab, and he's saying to Moab, you look at Ai, Ai's fallen, and Heshbon, you're the capital of Moab, it's coming your way too. Go and howl for them, because the beast is at the door, the wolf and the bear, as we've seen pictured in our day. Well, the lion was at the door, and it was Babylon. And the Bible does use that metaphor for him, Matt, in a little while in this very chapter. So the lion and the eagle are at the door, and he says, you need to howl now, for their king, verse 3, shall go into captivity. Now, who is their king? Well, their king is actually referred to as not a human person, but rather as the god Molech or Milcom. If we would read on, he says in verse 3, run to and fro by the hedges. In other words, on the edge of your city down there in Moab, go back and forth. For Milcom, or their king, shall go into captivity, and his priests and his princes shall go together. Wherefore, or why, do you glory in the valleys, thy flowing valley, O backsliding daughter? Now he's still talking, he's back now talking to Ammon. He says, go and look at your, if you'll look at where Ammon is, this on your one map shows that it was, it doesn't really depict it, but if you had the actual original print and you understood geography as it's laid out, this was a very fertile area. It was a valley. It was very, very nice. It was, these people felt like they were, you know, just super rich, just like Americans do, because we have all the farmland. And he says, you glory in that. And he says, it's going to be, and most expositors believe, the flowing valley is literally, it's going to flow with blood. You guys are going down. And it's not going to be a good day for you. And it says that they gloried in their treasures in the valleys. He talks about the treasures. Then in the end of verse 4, he says, you trusted in you are a backsliding daughter that trusted in her treasures. Now, backsliding daughter. Every word, every phrase has some kind of meaning for us. But what I want you to understand is God sees these as his family because they descended from Lot. Just being associated with Lot, he sees them as responsible to worship the God Lot worshiped. Even though he did it poorly, they don't get a pass. And there are people, generations, that mom and dad, they didn't do it the way it should be done. So I'm fooey on that. No, You still are responsible. You backslide when you pull back from God for whatever reason. These people pulled back from God because Lot, you know, he set up his camp there in Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, that was where he lived. He almost sacrificed his daughters that night when God was going to destroy the city. When they went into the mountains, the daughters were so corrupted by the world in which they lived that they seduced their father and bring forth Moab and Ammon. And those two become nations. And God calls them now backsliding daughters because they were responsible. They had enough light to do the right thing. And he says in verse 4, you trusted in your treasures. And the word treasures means to store up. It's from a word meaning to store up. And it could very well be an armory. But these people, also could be known for having trusted in the fact that if somebody ever assaulted them, they had plenty of food. And that was a big deal. Somebody came against your city, having a lot of food inside your walls would have been a good thing. But the Ammonites were a people of war, so it very well could have been an allusion to the weaponry that they had.